You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right.
Welcome back. The Drive continues here on Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment brought to you by National Low T Clinic. More energy, more drive. I thought Rick Barnes showed more energy and more drive in the second half. He must have paid a visit to the National Low T Clinic at the half, man. I mean, he came out with his hair on fire. It was awesome. I was like, yes, 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 this is what we want. Former basketball coach.
Got him a tech.
Fired up. The first tech since 2011.
Him and asking Calipari if he wanted to take it outside, it looked like. His eye was twitching.
Yeah, he was fired up. Hold me back. Hold me back, Rob Lanier.
It's Admiral Schofield. Calm down.
You're lucky my chick's here. That's what he told him. You're lucky Anthony Simons. I got a five-star here. It would be uncouth for me to come down this sideline like Tony Harris back in the day with a cast on his foot and kick your ass, John Calipari.
It was just that whole sequence right there. Like, I watched it at the time, and I still don't understand how they made that call on Grant Williams.
I mean, National Low T Clinic. Check them out online at nationallowt.com. Call to make an appointment, 865-314-7125. And they've got locations open in Knoxville now, 3118 Alcoa Highway, and in Kingston, 1927 Waterford Place. Again, nationallowt.com. Walk-ins, welcome, no appointments necessary. Take back your life and reclaim the energy, drive, and vitality you've been missing. That's exactly what happened, man. This basketball team reclaimed the energy, drive, and vitality they have been missing. We'll hope that it continues tomorrow night at Vanderbilt. Commodores struggling this season, but it's a late-night tip against Vandy in Nashville. And
that wacky gym.
You just remember it was – what, about 10 years ago that you had the number one versus number two game, and Bruce Pearl took us to heights that never thought I'd see here. Number one in the country on a Saturday night in Memphis, and it was a beautiful 48 hours or so, but it came to a screeching halt on a Tuesday night in
Nashville.
Memorial Gymnasium. So hopefully Tennessee can go down there and get the win, be at home against Texas A&M on Saturday. Volunteers clinging to its top 25 status, number 24 today in the AP poll. Get back to the phones here. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. Who you pulling for tonight in the Natty? So far on our super scientific at Fox Sports Knox Twitter poll, 75% of the nearly 300 respondents say Alabama.
Roll down Tide.
You think that's just all Pruitt love? That's all that is, right? I mean, if Pruitt weren't a factor, I feel like it would be 50-50, maybe even tilted towards Georgia a little.
I don't know. I think part of it – I mean, I don't think it's just Pruitt. I think, you know, the whole Cade Mays deal and Georgia getting all this momentum.
I just don't know how you can say it's not just Pruitt because, I mean, Alabama's like – Alabama-Tennessee, you guys have told me that's one of the bigger rivals. You think it's a bigger rival than Florida.
It is.
So – if Pruitt was Georgia's defensive coordinator, everybody here would be rooting for Georgia because you want to see your next coach do well. You don't want him to get embarrassed on national TV.
Our new defensive coordinator is coaching for Georgia tonight.
That's a good point.
Well, if he was going to be your head coach, yeah, if Kevin Scherer was going to be your head coach.
But you want – yeah, you do want
– he's more the face of the program.
To look better. It would be
– that's not – I don't know. For me, that's not – it's not all about Pruitt. I can only speak for myself.
For you, it's all about Kirby Smart. Like, come on.
That's the only reason you're rooting for them tonight, so you can mess with me tomorrow.
No, I've said from the get-go that I thought Georgia was going to win this all. I thought Clemson was going to beat Alabama, so I was wrong there. I didn't think Alabama was even going to get to the title game. I thought Clemson would get them.
They got healthy.
Let's go to the phones here, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. Phil is up first this hour. Hello, Phil.
What do you say, Debbie?
What's up, Philly?
How are you, Chance and Barrett?
Not bad.
Not too shabby.
I tried calling in the your show there after the game, and I was on hold, and I kept hearing Oler talk for 10 or 15 minutes. So I hung up and, you know, started celebrating Kentucky victory.
Tennessee victory over Kentucky.
Yeah, Tennessee victory. Yeah, over Kentucky.
How long did you hold? We came to you. Like, you must have hung up, like, right before we came to you.
Well, I mean, Oler talks is too much for me to digest. I mean, it's awful football.
It's the biggest win.
They've never done anything. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's a big win, Phil.
It is. You're going to get what you deserve. Tom Brady.
Hey.
Belichick.
Hey, we're here. We're here. Nobody thought we'd make it this far, Phil.
Well, see, the AFC's got two teams, and you and Jacksonville were, you know, somehow got in the playoffs. It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Oh, we'd be all right. You go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and chuckle. We'll be okay.
Well, I guess the next play, I mean, if the Titans beat the Patriots, that'd be the biggest upset in pro football history, wouldn't it?
It's not the Jets
over the Colts
knocking off the Colts in Super Bowl III.
Yeah, it's not Joe name, but I mean it'd be a pretty big upset, guys.
It's not the Bills.
Titans not a great team. If they can knock off the defending champions, and who most people would say are probably going back in Foxborough, you know how good New England plays there. That's a huge upset. I mean, I'm with Phil.
Hey, it might be an upset to guys like you, who you and the mayor, who haven't given the Titans the proper amount of respect. But
hey,
for those of us who know, those of us who believe, don't call it an upset.
Well, they're still low. There's 1 yard short.
Too soon, Phil. Too soon.
Guys, I cheer for Jeremy Pruitt. I'm not cheering for Alabama. I'm cheering for Jeremy Pruitt. That's not the way I have to look at it.
Yeah, I think you could separate it like that.
And Georgia's, you know, we got to beat Georgia to get to, you know, to win the Eastern Division. Although we're hamstrung, have to play Alabama every year. So, I'm used to Alabama dominating. It's not Georgia.
It's not a good feeling, Phil, to watch this game and know that one of your chief rivals are going to be very happy. At the end of the day, I think it's probably better for Tennessee if Alabama wins. I mean, they've won five titles already. What's another?
Yeah, what's another title?
It's not that big a deal to me. If Georgia wins a title, though, I mean, it legitimizes the talk that they've truly arrived.
Yeah, I go back to 1980 when Georgia last won their national championship. We enabled it by giving them a game here in Knoxville, and then the next year I went down there to watch Tennessee play Georgia, and we got blowed off the field 44-0, and Herschel ran all over us, and that's the reason I hate Georgia so much. Their fans are, you know, just a bunch of front runners.
I go back to that
sure.
88 season when they started out 0-6, and that's where it all began, on a hot night down there between the hedges, and Tennessee went around there and just mucked around for four quarters and got beat by Rodney Hampton and those guys. And
is that when they had about 400 yards rushing in that game?
I mean, next thing you know, you're 0-6.
Bill Goldberg was playing for them
and some
that
dude,
night.
Some dude in Wartburg has climbed up on a billboard somewhere and won't come down. It was terrible.
Then we went 5-0 the rest of the way out.
Chance is laughing. He doesn't believe me. 1988, Tennessee started out 0-6. And some guy in Wartburg, after like three or four losses, climbed up on a billboard and didn't come down for like 2 weeks.
Until they won.
Until Tennessee won a game.
Boston
they beat
College?
Boston College on a rainy day
yeah.
with Preston
yeah.
Warren.
That's yeah, when we sense. Redshirted Chuck Webb and
Carl Pickens.
Carl Pickens.
I got hit in the head with a full Coke from the upper deck in the back of the head. People were launching stuff.
And we kept Ole Miss from winning a tie for the SEC championship by beating Ole Miss in Oxford that year. Do you remember that? Ole Miss would have tied for the SEC championship, but we went down there and beat them in their own backyard.
Yeah, they always roll over for us.
But, guys, it's nice to beat the Big Blue. I mean, where's these Big Blue callers that used to call in, David? They're not around no more. What's going on?
Like Tide Cat?
Yeah.
Trying to score meth in a trailer park somewhere. I mean, it's – They're Kentucky fans. I mean, what do you expect from them? A bunch of toothless, inbred, slack-jawed yokels.
Well, I bet a lot of them were crying in their beer Saturday night watching Ricky and the boys beat them, I mean.
Breaks my heart. It's not even a college basketball team, man. It's a glorified AAU program.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were. They looked like an AAU team out there, didn't they? They sure did.
Pretty rough.
And they don't have a great player. I mean, they got good players, but they're not great.
They're a soft, undisciplined group. And the only thing that I care about when it comes to Kentucky is counting down the days until the NCAA inevitably comes to town. And that 2012 championship banner comes out of the rafters because you know it's going to happen.
And
it's going to be glorious.
It's not going to happen at Kentucky.
It won't happen.
Kentucky ain't Memphis.
The NCAA is no stranger to bluegrass. This ain't Alabama football. They'll walk in there and slap them around, not think twice about it.
Well, maybe get the FBI up there looking around. I might really find something. You know what? They shut down the massage parlor over in Louisville. See ya.
I think Calipari's slicker than
what? Do we need to go give you a John Calipari refresher course?
A primer?
I mean, he's only 100% when it comes to Final Four banners being taken down at his previous job.
I don't think that's going to happen at Kentucky.
Why not?
Because they're Kentucky. When's the last time they stripped them of anything?
They shut the program down for cheating back in the 50s. They gave them as close to the death penalty as anybody's gotten in the early 90s. I mean, like,
they got close. They haven't been close to it in 25 years.
Yeah, but they haven't had it's Calipari. Man, give it time. Just give it time. Be patient. These things reveal themselves.
I don't know. How would you feel if Tennessee was just a one-and-done school?
I mean, Anthony Davis's recruitment was shady as heck. Eric Bledsoe's recruitment was shady as heck. A zebra don't change its stripes, or is it a leopard don't change its spots?
Tiger doesn't change its stripes.
Whatever.
I don't think you guys know.
I'm coining a new idiom. A zebra don't change its stripes, and John Calipari don't play by the rules. And that banner will come down someday. Mark my words. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville, 865-546-8200. A renegade, corrupt program got slapped around, punked Saturday night by a guy who does it the right way. A guy who's as American as apple pie, Rick Barnes, said, not in my house. Kentucky does not beat Rick Barnes in Knoxville. That's not a thing that happens. It doesn't exist.
Are you wearing zebras in black happened. With white stripes?
Does not happen.
They are?
Yeah.
Is that verified?
Zebras are black with white stripes.
How do you know?
I think that's true.
How do you know that?
How do you know that, though?
You don't know that.
You watched
on Animal Planet one night. Stay with us. We'll find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Brill. Coming up.
The Drive. The docket. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Brill. The official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. They'll come to you. Visit their website at reckintoacheck.com. Now, to the docket.
A former dancer at Parkway Tropics, an adult nightclub in Grand Rapids, Michigan, says she and other dancers relied only on tips for wages and were illegally required to share those gratuities with doormen, DJs, and other non-tipped workers. Ashley Cavazos filing a federal lawsuit seeking class action status against the club and its owner. She says that Parkway Tropics misclassified dancers as independent contractors instead of employees and failed to provide dancers minimum wage and other benefits they were entitled to under state and federal laws. They were also illegally forced to share about 35% of their tips as rent with other workers, according to the lawsuit. And I feel like she's got a good point. You're working for tips. You're not getting a wage. You're not getting a salary. That should be 100% theirs. Like, she shouldn't. Like, when some dude goes up there and slips a one in her garter belt, he's not doing it because the DJ's playing a crunk song. He's not doing it because he's appreciative of the fact that the bouncer didn't hassle him when he came in. He's giving that money because he thinks she's hot. And that money should go to her.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Good usage on crunk too there, Russ.
Thank you.
Didn't know you had any.
Similar lawsuit against Deja Vu nightclubs on behalf of 28,000 exotic dancers across the country. Settled last year for $6.5 million in U.S. District Court. About that? 28,000 exotic dancers across the country. That's a lot of people. That'll fill up Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena and have them streaming it. Can you imagine Thompson Bowling just full of strippers? There's a visual for you. Speaking of DJs, what's your thoughts on the DJ at the basketball games? Like it or no?
I haven't been to one, so I don't know.
Have you seen, like, videos and stuff of the students?
I don't mind it. They do that a lot at a lot of NBA games. I kind of like it.
It keeps the crowd
involved.
I think this is not a popular take of mine, but I've said it for years now. Thompson Bowling Arena is so big, you need to take the pep band out of there.
Yeah.
Like, when they're pumping in music, and that's when you can feel the bass, and that's when the crowd's into it. And I've been to games there several times where they're playing in music, everybody's into it, and then they cut it off and the band plays. And it's not loud enough, man. And they play the same old, you know, the Orange Blossom Special and Journey and Bon Jovi and all the tired crap. And it just sucks, man. Like, I'm all for the DJ, man.
Get the band
out of there. Like, you know, I'm sure the kids would play a better playlist. I'm not hating on them or what they do or anything. Love the Pride of the Southland band. They should play more of them and less piped in the stadium. I think it's the opposite in the arena. Pipe it in and turn it up.
I mean, it's an arena that's very comparable to a lot of NBA arenas, and you have to pump in some good quality sound. It's not going to sound great in there. The acoustics are not set up for a pep band to blow off the doors. Like, you can't.
No, I mean, it's like you're saying, just such a weird space to put sound into.
Like, I've been there for concerts, and they don't necessarily sound that great. I went there for Stevie Wonder, and it could have been
it would have been
better at Tennessee Theater if Stevie was there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I know, like, it's not the greatest place.
Outside, you know, like at a festa, that's where I saw Stevie last, was at a festival.
28,000 strippers. Whew.
That's a lot of strippers.
What's the math? Rick, can you do that? $6.5 million divided by 28,000.
How much they all get paid?
This was the
lawsuit. You got to figure minus attorney's fees.
So $232. That's it.
$6.5 million
divided by 28,000.
Yeah, about $232.15.
Oh.
But it's not that much. See, because the lawyers probably took
30,
you know, something percent.
It's like not even worth the time.
No.
You know what? I feel like we need to redo that. I feel like we need to make this right, man. Listen, I'm not strip club guy. I don't mean to be.
Why are you setting us up for making something right that we have nothing to do with?
I'm just saying us, like, as a country, as a people. I think
us as a drive.
I think this should be part of Oprah's platform, since it looks like she's running for president. Like,
what?
Take care of the strippers.
What are you talking about?
Have you not been following this?
No.
Like, do you live under a rock or something? I mean, this is the big story on.
After the football game last night, I was going to watch that first episode of that HBO show, The Defiant Ones.
People are talking about Oprah running for president.
And then, like,
I mean, I think Trump could beat her to the punch right here. Like, somebody claimed that, like, I don't know. It's probably not a big issue. 28,000 votes. And it's Grand Rapids, Michigan. Michigan, that's a battleground state. $232 for the strippers.
When did Oprah decide to run for president?
She hadn't decided, but it's been speculated. Evidently, she did some speech at an award show or something. The internet's a buzz. If Oprah runs for president against Trump, and I'm not even picking sides, I don't care. All I'm saying is 2020, I might have to leave the country just for like however long the election lasts, like those 3 or 4 months. I don't know if I can do it. Who am I kidding? It'd be great. Be amazing.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell, the official law offices of The Drive. You check them out online at wreckedtoacheck.com. Call 865-546-1111 to speak to a licensed attorney any time of day, 24/7, 365 days a year. They are the home of the Now Guarantee at Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell. They'll come to you no matter where you are. And turn your wreck into a check, wreckintoacheck.com, or call 865-546-1111. Back to the phones we go. Bobby is next on The Drive. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Bobby, what's up, buddy?
Not much. I called about a month ago, you know, when we was in search for a coach. But I'm glad we got Jeremy Pruitt. But I hate to tell you, I'm pulling for Georgia tonight in the national championship game.
Why, Bobby?
It'd be a close one. But, you know, I gave a shout-out to a hometown hero here, Randy Sanders, and I want to give a shout out and give him a congratulations for the big ETSU that Pappy Fulmer went back and developed for them.
Come on, Pappy Fulmer, give me the ETSU job. Come on, Papa, hire me at ETSU. In the Southern Conference, Papa Fulmer. Tell me about Peyton.
Yeah, but see, y'all want to make fun. Are y'all for UT or what?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean, or are you for UT?
See, Fulmer is a hero in my book.
I love Fulmer.
We're working like heck.
It's a battle captain.
I hear you. Have a drink on me. But the thing about it is, though, I mean, Randy Sanders, he is a, you know, he probably didn't do much when he was a quarterback at UT, but, you know, he had a competition with, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now.
Jeff
he
Francis.
Used to be an announcer, but anyway, I just wanted to call and give a shout out to him and congratulations because he's the head coach now at ETSU.
Well said. Hear, hear.
Thanks for calling, Bobby.
I hope Randy Sanders has an excellent job. I'm sorry that he's going to get his brains beat in the second week of the season by Jeremy Pruitt in his Neyland Stadium opener. But I think he's a good fit. You know, I think that program, like no offense to Carl Torbisch, who I really like as well, but I think that program probably needed to go a little bit younger. And
you ever met him?
Carl Torbisch? Yeah. Well, I don't know that I've met him in person, but I've interviewed him several times. And he's always been very generous with his time.
Super
and
nice
a good
guy.
Interview. Yeah. So I hope Randy does well. There. Do you remember like when Fulmer had it rolling in the early 2000s and it was speculated that Randy Sanders was the heir apparent here?
Yeah.
My, how quickly things change.
One night in Atlanta with Nick Saban.
Boy. Two ships passing in the night all those years ago.
Wonder what his all-time record is in Atlanta.
Who?
Saban.
Saban? Oh, that's a good question. Has he ever lost down there?
That's what I'm trying to think of. That's where I usually defer to my
associate. I think I actually heard this on the way in today. I'm going to look it up for you.
Florida beat them in the SEC championship game in 2006.
It's one.
Or no, I'm sorry, 2008 was the year that they got beat down there with Ingram and those guys. Is that the only SEC championship Bama's lost under Saban? I believe so.
How'd they end up playing in some of those Sugar Bowls where they'd show – where?
08 was the year they lost to – they lost to Florida. They went 12-0, lost to Florida in the SEC championship, Tebow and those guys, and then got beat by Utah.
Utah.
And that might be it.
Who was the Utah coach then? Was it Whittingham?
Yes.
How has he never moved on from there?
Just a Utah guy, man, through and through. I mean, remember, we talked about – of course, we talked about everybody. I was thinking –
thinking of some of the people?
Yeah, somebody jogged by – like, there was a Sumlin. Remember, like, when Sumlin got fired and we all thought he was – like, Tennessee would go after him hard? Remember that day for
we already
about
passed
24
on
hours?
Him back when we hired – was it Doolander?
No, but I'm talking about, like, a month ago when
I
he
remember.
Got fired.
I know what you're talking about. I remember.
It was right after they dumped Doran.
Yes.
Right after we blew up the Doran hire.
We were grabbing at anything that remotely resembled a football coach.
Yeah. Like we wanted
they could handle
less miles. Like
I didn't want less. They wanted less in front of Doran. And
you know, there's a good otherwise reasonable people that I know who are like, oh, Kevin Steele, would it be bad? We should hire Kevin Steele. That might work. I mean, it got so desperate several times.
Nick Saban's record in Atlanta. 11-1.
Wow.
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, the guy's 131-20 over his career. So,
but what I was referencing there, that phone call from earlier, if you look back at like their margin of defeat, they don't get blown out ever. If you beat him, it's because you clawed and fought. You know, were able to keep him close and then win it at the end,
folks. Little rain ain't going to stop the fun at Hops and Hollers tonight. Check them out online at hopsandhollers.com or just head on down for bingo night tonight. They will have the national championship on, and you might need a frosty beverage or two to get through the night this evening. They'll have prizes each round during bingo. We'll try this. The Kazuhuki Hibachi food truck will be there. Kazoku, Kazuhuki, the Kazoku Hibachi Express food truck. Be there. I haven't had it. Sounds fantastic. It always
hibachi.
Is. Oh, I mean, it's hard to screw up hibachi. I mean, I'm sure it could be done, but I love some good hibachi.
I could eat it every night.
Kazoku Hibachi food truck. Tonight at Hops and Hollers, 937 North Central Street. Check them out. Tell them the drive sent you. Stay here. We'll be right back.
The Drive. The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Back here in the Mountain View Chevy Studios, Russell Chance and the Bear taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200. I feel like these young guys, like, they just don't appreciate what we just did for them.
No, they don't.
It's not even that. And I'm not that many years behind Russell. It's just the fact that you guys get on these music snob tears that you do. And you
how
expect,
are we being snobby? We're trying to introduce our young intern to proper...
It's not that you're really snobby about it. It's just that you guys always expect everybody to know every music that you deem is great music and that you love. You guys do this a lot. The two of you. Because you love music, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do that about the NBA with people.
Hey, yeah, what's not... Oh, we were talking about Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash, maybe the two greatest American songwriters.
I like Johnny Cash. I do like Johnny Cash.
And just
they're national treasures. I'm trying to make sure Rick knows about it.
But you guys do this. Like, you go through like albums that you know, and then you guys will start talking to each other and be like, oh, yeah, was that on that album? Was that on, you know, Purple Lily? I don't know. Like, you guys, I don't know. Like, you guys do that stuff, though.
I was just in amazement with this young man who's from, where are you from, Texas?
We got to educate
him. Never heard of the Highwaymen. Waylon Jennings.
He's 21 years old. He's 21.
Do they not study history where you're from, son?
21, so you were born in 1996.
We should go back to this. Do they not study history? Because even me growing up, part of my history lesson was never, do you know the Highwayman? That wasn't on any of my history tests. Waylon Jennings, even though living in Tennessee, that was never on any.
You're telling me you're from Texas, you never heard a Waylon Jennings song.
He's heard. I mean, you've heard the Dukes of Hazzard thing. You've just heard Waylon Jennings' song. Boys. You just never you don't know.
I mean, I've got one. I mean, never Looking Back Texas.
You've never heard the Dukes of Hazzard theme song?
No.
What?
That doesn't surprise me though. Like
I get it. He's born in 1996, bro. He does.
That's what I'm saying, guys. Like, and people like more Rick's age. Like now, like it's.
You weren't even going to school when 9/11 went down. Were you in kindergarten?
He was 5 years old.
Yeah, preschool, elementary.
He was in preschool. I shouldn't laugh. You can't laugh at anything about 9/11. That's not. It's not good.
It's really not funny.
Can't do that.
No, I'm just using it as like a historical marker, of time.
A reference, yeah. Reference point. Yeah.
Kids young, guys. Appreciate your youth, Rick. Don't let these guys like try to make you old. You don't know way well, to the highway, man.
Well, I mean, well, who else have you know? I mean, next thing you're gonna tell me you never heard of the Pixies.
No. Well, that was before he was born.
Like, why do you, this is what you keep doing to him?
And the Pixies, let's not. I mean, like any rock and roll aficionado will know who they are and have a firm appreciation. But let's not pretend like they're a super mainstream band.
My Bloody Valentine?
No. See, now you're just. Not,
there you're doing
you're
it again.
Like,
you're doing it again.
You're going through
this,
the indie.
This
list.
Is what I'm talking about. This is what you guys do sometimes.
I like that album, though. What was that record called?
That's how it goes.
This is what you guys do. Go ahead and tell them what the record was called.
Groundbreaking stuff.
Bandwagon-esque?
Well,
is that what it was?
No, that was Teenage Fan Club.
Tomorrow, live at Quaker Steak and Lube. Come on out, see us. Eat some wings with us. Talk Sports gonna be there from 10 to 1, so you can go for lunch.
Oh, you
can
eat.
Or you can
eat.
Come late, dinner. Is it an all-you-can-eat deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesdays. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh. Used to be my spot.
Might
my
have
buddy.
To go down. Might have to be going down tomorrow.
You said you could eat. I mean, do you not remember this? This was only like an hour ago. You think you can eat more than Chance?
He can't these days because he's going through the stomach.
Yeah,
down.
Just excuses.
I might challenge Cody tomorrow.
If I were to try and go full in on all you can eat wings night tomorrow, it would be like, you know, if you're an athlete and you're just coming back from like a high ankle sprain, you're a game or two in, and you're just like, no, man, you gotta build up to it. I'll be back.
Who do you think at the station could eat the hottest?
The hottest? Ooh,
I think I'd hold my own.
I bet
get hot.
I give myself a fair shot, but I don't like extreme heat. I've always said that. Probably, I don't think John's up there. I don't think he really likes that hot stuff.
No, he doesn't.
I'm gonna go with Cody or Houston.
Let us discuss.
Or Rick, actually, I go with Rick. Rick, really, really hot.
He's
stuff.
Like me. Let us discuss for a moment, if we may, our insane new strength coach. Did you guys read the Deadspin article about him?
Yeah, I did.
Everybody's read that.
Craig Fitzgerald, Tennessee's new strength coach. I guess he's starting this week, man. I mean, it's time for off-season strength and conditioning for the Vols. Comes to Tennessee from Houston, the Texans, where he was strength and conditioning coach there for a couple of years. He was with Bill O'Brien at Penn State. He was at South Carolina under Spurrier. Been around the blocker a time or two. And he takes over strength and conditioning. He is, I believe, the fifth strength coach Tennessee's had in the last 5 years, maybe fourth, whatever, some ridiculous number like that. So hopefully he'll stay a while. I think first and foremost is the thing. They need some – you talk about stability.
I mean, stability and continuity.
Yeah, that's a position that you just have to have it at with the strength and conditioning coach. So – he's here, and there's a Deadspin article, but he was at Harvard for a while too, and some guy wrote an article about it. You could find this on Deadspin. Just go to your Google machine. It was really funny because it was like anonymous at the time, but people went back and figured out that it was Craig Fitzgerald. And this guy is crazy.
I like him.
He's absolutely stark raving mad. At first, when I read the Deadspin article, he's talking about taking his junk out and like,
that allegedly
pretend and all this stuff that I'm like, man, this I don't know about this. But then the more I thought about it, like you saw the Alabama guy last week
Cochran.
Smashing the trophy and everything. Like maybe that's what you need. You just need a stark raving lunatic in charge of your strength and conditioning program.
Yeah, it's an alpha. Completely crazy alpha.
Yeah, I'm reading that and I'm not thinking alpha. Like, and maybe that's what an alpha is. I'm thinking, what a meathead. Like, what a complete and total moron.
Yeah, that's how
that's what I'm thinking when I read that story.
I've seen a lot of guys like that. And
but maybe that's what you need. I mean, look at, again, Scott Cochran doesn't, I mean, I'm sorry, look at that guy.
He's
that doesn't look like, that is a total simpleton. That is not a smart person. I'm sorry. That's just an idiot. He's an idiot. You want your strength coach to be an idiot.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Pretty much.
You don't want to sit down with your strength coach and he's like, you know, starts telling you about human physiology and anatomy and like quick twitch fiber and all that stuff. Like, if he gets to it, you want a guy who's just like, yeah, man, pick up something heavy a bunch of times. Like, that's what you want.
Essentially, yeah.
Total meathead.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's what we got. Our lunatic meathead strength coach goes to work. Like, as long as he gets these guys to where they don't get injured,
then
every other play, then that's what you want, right?
Exactly what you want. You want somebody that's going to make these guys put weight on, muscle weight, good weight. Muscles said, keep you from getting hurt.
And I apologize to be lewd, but he said, I might not have a big, but I've got huge testicles.
Yeah, that was a part of it that I've seen from two different places that part
well,
of it.
Well, of course he's going to deny that. Nobody's going to come out there and be like, yeah, I said that. I have a small penis. Nobody's going to admit to that.
What was your favorite part? Mine was either the bananas.
Or he's just like throwing bananas at the guy?
No, he's eating them.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know why I eat these?
Why do you eat bananas?
Because they're delicious.
Coach?
No. You never seen a small effing gorilla.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of truth in some of that stuff. Or when he cussed him, I don't know, the whole squat rack scene where he's cussing himself out.
You wuss. It is funny, man. Yeah, just Google. Wait, when you Google Craig Fitzgerald, it's one of the first things that pops up.
There's one picture that pops up of him. I swear to God, he looks like roided out John Travolta.
I thought when I saw him, he reminds me. Who's the dude from The Daily Show who's in movies now? Big guy. He was the cop in The Hangover. Oh, let's go to Vegas and steal a cop car. Ooh, the guy.
Rob Riggle?
Yes, he looks like Rob Riggle. That's what it reminded me.
Yeah, I could see that. He looked more like Travolta to me in that one shot with his goatee.
Roided out
Travolta. He's insane, man. Have you seen the video of him at Penn State?
Yeah. Like I said, man, that's what you want. You want
without a shirt on?
You don't want some reasonable dude.
No, you want somebody heading who's going to get the boys worked up into a froth.
You want a nut. You want a nut. I mean, it's worked for Alabama. That's what Tennessee, you have like a reasonable guy. Hi, I'm Ronnie McKeefrey. I'm Dave Lawson. Would you like to come in here and pump some iron? Yes, be very, very careful. You don't want to lift too much and hurt yourself. No, man. Throw another bar on there.
Lift.
Throw another plate on.
Lift.
Hey,
be a man.
I'm going to have to give you this creatine intravenously. Come on, boy. You only weigh 315 pounds. You got to be 350 before the season starts.
Okay, I'm going to try and get that guy's book. That guy's a really good writer, whoever wrote the article or the excerpt from the book. It was funny.
Stay with us. The Drive rages on. Fox Sports Knoxville, are you okay with Tennessee's strength coach being a stark raving lunatic? 865-546-8200. We'll get back to the phones after this.
The Drive.
Tennessee also hires a director of personnel. This, I guess, was going to be Austin Thomas's job before whatever happened there. Drew Hughes from Florida. We're getting all these guys from our rivals. All these assistants from Georgia and Alabama. You get Drew Hughes coming in from Florida, where he's been. I know some people were like, yeah, but Florida didn't really recruit well the past couple of seasons. I went back and checked. Like, they recruited okay. I mean,
he came in after Muschamp. He was a McElwain guy.
He was a holdover from Muschamp, I believe.
Then I'm all right with it because Muschamp recruited a
really
high
level. Muschamp tried to sign him, get him to come to South Carolina, and he wouldn't go. And now Pruitt. I look at it this way, if you're looking for a glass half full perspective. Like, all these guys are jumping on the Pruitt bandwagon, like, well thought of pro guys, many, like, in good situations are like, yeah, I'll come work with Jeremy Pruitt. So whether it's Craig Fitzgerald, Drew Hughes, you know, Austin Thomas left his great job at LSU to come here. Now, it didn't work out, but he did leave that job to come here. And then, of course, you look at the staff and –
You got guys like Tracy Rocker,
yeah,
Chris,
Kevin Scherer, Tracy Rocker. Like, those guys could have gone anywhere.
Trumpf or Dumpf?
Chris Rumpf.
Rumpf, sorry. Well, I mean, he hasn't – I mean, these guys, I mean, we still haven't really met our coaching staff yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, even a guy fair, like, I mean, Gillespie could have gone somewhere else. Terry Fair had other options. Still waiting on a wide receivers coach. I mean, that will be the –
That'll be the final piece, I guess.
Yeah, final piece.
Yeah, I mean, you say what you want about Gillespie. It's pretty obvious with that even though he was very underutilized to the point of criminal negligence here, Alvin Kamara, I mean, Gillespie did a good job developing his group of players. It was the one group that was well coached.
Is Alvin Kamara the favorite son of Tennessee football?
Right now?
Like, is he Tennessee fans' favorite player since Peyton Manning?
Barry.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Eric Berry, Jason Witten still playing. Tennessee fans love them some Witten. Who else is out there? This would be a good poll question. Who's your favorite current NFL Vol? It would be those three. Witten, who? Cordarrelle Patterson, I don't think he's
But people liked him in the same – I mean, it's not nearly extreme we love Kamara, but
– They loved him for the explosiveness, but Kamara's got this off-the-field attraction that people just flock to as well.
I mean, the kid's got a million-dollar smile. I don't know. I like him.
Would it be those three? Who would be the fourth one? Who?
Did you mention Dobbs?
Dobbs?
Yeah, people love Dobbs.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. Dobbs, Barry, Peyton, yeah, Kamara. Pretty polar, most polarizing in a long time.
Interesting stuff. 865-546.
It's weird how that happens, isn't it?
8200. Kamara did get in the end zone. Not a huge game, like explosive plays. But
I think that was Carolina's game plan had to be going in. They were going to try and take away Ingram and Kamara and see if they could make Drew Brees one.
Well, they did. They did, too. They didn't have many, they didn't have much rushing yards at all. I mean, Carolina had a good chance to win that game late.
How ate up with dumbass was the end of that game? Just like all over the place. The officials almost forgetting the 10-second runoff. Like that dude intercepting the ball on fourth down.
I'm still not convinced. And I mean, they totally missed what was could very well have been. I mean, it sounds like it was a concussion because the NFL is investigating it. But I'm still not
Panthers
convinced that that grounding call on Cam at the end of the game was correct.
I don't think that was grounding.
Thought he was outside the pocket? Or
yeah.
I thought he was.
I thought he was, too.
I mean, that would be the only argument. There wasn't a receiver anywhere near.
Yeah, I thought he was outside the tackle.
He was outside the tackle, and I thought he threw it, you know. I mean, to me, sometimes it gets into a gray area.
Well, I mean, he was clearly throwing it away, had no intention of intercepting the pass, completing the pass. Like, I have a hard time – feeling sorry for the quarterback when it's like, if you're just saying that you were outside the pocket, dude, you launched the ball out of bounds. Like, you had no intention.
Yeah, but sometimes some guys, you know, I don't think it's in.
I mean, the bigger I thought the Panthers used their first timeout stupidly.
Well, yeah.
After a second down, very early in the clock, and then they had the dude intercept the ball when he should have just batted it down. And then you had the
– I felt like Peyton kind of took his foot off the gas a little bit.
Him going for that fourth down, it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, yeah, I mean, that game went completely bonkers the last minute or two.
Yeah, I mean, the play calling on that offensive series was when I felt like they started playing not to, you know, they were just going to try and use as much clock as they could and punt instead of trying to really attack and go after first downs and end it. And then, of course, he went for it on fourth down. And that idiot didn't knock it down.
Have you noticed, like, all these teams – I've seen this in college ball, too, this postseason. Like, these teams throwing it when they're ahead. When they traditionally, teams be running clock, and everybody's just super aggressive now.
Bills made a blunder when they got the call and put them on the one. Why didn't they just keep running? They throw a fade to Kelvin Benjamin. They should have ran it.
And let's not even talk about the Chiefs only giving Kareem Hunt 5 carries in the last 30 minutes of the ball.
Yeah, he only had 11 for the game. That's what lost them the game.
Crazy stuff.
Andy Reid doing Andy Reid stuff.
Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up. Stay with us. We'll be right back.